Okay. Good evening and welcome to the May 23rd, 2018 meeting of the Willmar City Planning Commission. First order of business, review of the minutes of the May 2nd, 2018 meeting. Are there any questions, corrections? If none, I'd entertain a motion to file the minutes.
I'll make a motion to file the minutes.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Discussion? Okay. All those in favor of filing the minutes signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Item number three is Lakeland Apartments Review, and I'll ask Sarah to introduce this for us.
Perfect. So before us tonight, we have review of a proposed development on Lakeland Drive, just south of the trailer park. Currently, it's planned in two phases for funding purposes. One phase will consist of two 24-unit buildings, and one will consist of one 24-unit building. There is a playground to service the tenants planned, as well as some stormwater on the site. Parking is adequately presented on the site plan. There's two spaces for every one unit. I think other than that, we've been doing some kind of back and forth trying to get the adequate lot size and street frontage to line up with each phase. Because it's broken up into two phases, it has to be two separate parcels, which makes their requirements specific for each parcel. Overall, their lot area is more than sufficient for what the zoning ordinance requires. Their lot frontage is not. However, because this is a meets and bounds parcel currently, they are looking at doing a plat for these two parcels, and then we've encouraged them to apply for a conditional use permit as well to then develop this as a PUD, which would allow the Planning Commission the authority to vary those requirements in the zoning ordinance. This particular piece of land is currently zoned R4. The portion of land south that Warren Erickson would continue to own is currently zoned ag land. So that's in their favor as well. The units fit that R4 requirement of up to 24 units, and then that would be covered in that conditional use permit as well. Other than that, we're presenting it before Planning Commission tonight because the SWMHP is looking for a letter of support from the city, which will come from the council, but we felt that having Planning Commission's input on this development prior to that would be beneficial for the council. Just for Planning Commission to look over it, to make some comments, and then we'll forward those with the minutes to the council. The letter of support will be looked for at the next council meeting on June 4th.
So we're just excited to give the council some support on this and later all the stuff.
Exactly. No decisions will be made tonight. No applications have been submitted. The letter of support is needed for their funding application. To assist their funding application. And we do have two representatives from the development here tonight to answer any questions.
Okay. I'll tell you what, as long as we have room, why don't you guys just come up to the table here? It'll help me out a little bit too.
Thank you.
So, and I don't think we had a sheet out, but if you just identify yourselves for the record and tell us a little bit more about your project.
Sure. Good evening. My name is Rick Goodyman, CEO of Southwest Minnesota Housing Partnership.
Corey Merrill. I'm a real estate developer working with Rick on the project.
Okay. So my understanding is it's workforce housing, and there's four supportive units as well?
That's correct.
And this isn't too dissimilar, other than the fact that it's apartments from some of the things that you've done in the past, correct?
That's correct. So the Southwest Minnesota Housing Partnership was formed in 1992, started working in the 14 counties of the southwest corner of the state. And then, as other communities have asked for our services, we've now broadened. We own properties from the Wisconsin border to Sioux Falls, Storm Lake, Iowa, all the way up to Crookston. We've done two projects here in Wilmer. One is Westwinds Estates, which is a new construction, 28-unit project, loan capacity tax credits. We've also acquired and rehabilitated the Cardinals, which are a Section 515 property, and we were recently funded to acquire and rehabilitate Hanson Apartments, which is right across the street from Cardinals. We primarily develop affordable housing. We do a lot of mixed income. This project, we would be applying for an allocation of low-income housing tax credits. And what makes this much more valuable workforce housing project is the Congress enacted in the funding bill in March of this year what they're calling income averaging. So previously, we could serve people that made 60% or less area median income. Now we can average and move that up to 80%, which will get us into more of the workforce market. Previously with low-income housing tax credits, we did serve working people because the rents are what the rents are, but was usually the very entry-level, lowest paying service jobs, things like this. This broadens the market and makes it more appealing as a workforce tool.
So this is more of a mixed income,
yes,
type of
without having project. To go to the full mixed income.
Sure. Okay. Go ahead.
And we're looking at two 24-unit buildings, as Sarah said, and phase three would be another 24-unit building, walk-up apartments. We've started really looking at trying to make the buildings as efficient as we can to reduce the costs. And I don't know if you were provided any of the estimates on the cost, but we brought those down by about $1.4 million from where they were.
In the information that was given.
We also have commissioned a market study, and we're waiting for that. We should have some preliminary information by either Friday or Monday.
Okay.
So we are looking for that as well.
There was also, I don't know if you're aware, but a study done by our local Vision 2040 housing work group. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I've seen that, and okay. I was also provided the one that Commonwealth did as well. So we did look at the penetration estimates on that project, and it does appear that there is enough demand for this, but we're still waiting for our own study. Mm-hmm.
And Commonwealth, just for our institutional memory, that's the 15th Street Flats
yes.
development that we approved, was it earlier this year?
Yep, correct. Okay. Yeah, right at the beginning of this year.
Rick, tell us a little bit about what you mean by tax credits and why they're important.
So the Congress enacted low-income housing tax credits in 1987. It was part of the tax reform that Reagan enacted, and it's a way of bringing in private capital into affordable housing projects. Each state has allocated an allocation of low-income housing tax credits, and it's based on per capita population of the state. It's based on $1.75 per population. That then comes to the state through the U.S. Treasury. The program's administered by the Internal Revenue Service. And then each state provides what's called a qualified allocation plan. So it's a plan by which the state agrees on how they are going to allocate tax credits to eligible projects. So when we're looking at a project, we're also looking at how it's going to score based on the qualified allocation plan. Once the allocation is made to an organization like mine, we then engage with investors who acquire the tax credits and take that off their income taxes. Most of the buyers of tax credits are large institutional entities. Banks, insurance companies are the largest purchasers of those. They then, so what the tax credit does, it allows a dollar for dollar reduction on their taxes, income taxes, for a period of 15 years. And then they pay us a discounted value for that. As of last year, we're actually getting more than a dollar for a dollar of tax credits. With the recent tax reform, the pricing has fallen down, has fallen now to around the upper 80 cents to 90, 91 cents. So there's been a diminishment of the value of the tax credit. So when we, on this particular project, I think we're looking at an allocation of around $885,000. And that would come to the investors, $885,000 for 10 years. So it's $8.8 million. And then we take the discounted value, that comes in as equity to the project and does not have to be repaid. So it's a way of meeting relatively low rents.
Mm-hmm. Is it fair to say, Rick, that without the tax credits, projects like this just don't happen?
They do not happen. And it's a critical piece, particularly when you have depressed rental markets in many of our markets. It's the only way that we can develop rental housing. It has to do with prevailing rents in the community, and without that equity piece, it's very hard to raise the capital to build a true market rate project.
And typically speaking, prevailing rents in Wilmer are not too dissimilar from metro area.
You have higher rents, but they're still lower than the metro area.
Okay.
When I'm talking about a community that's really struggling, it would be a community like Worthington, where a two-bedroom unit is $680 is the prevailing rent, and that can't support a development.
Yeah, it's just private developers can't make something like this cash flow.
Correct.
So and that's why the tax credit financing is so critical.
Yes. So when you're trying to raise capital from a private marketplace, what they're going to do is they're going to get an appraisal and a market study. They're going to determine that the prevailing rent is $680 using Worthington example. And then that's the basis. So we take that, take your expenses off, and whatever you end up with as revenue to support debt is how the banks are going to base that on 80% loan to value. So it creates very large needs for equity.
Okay. And for this body, you know, our decision is land use, but I think it's important to know the rationale for a decision like this, a project like this, and the financing mechanisms to begin with. So so it's 48 units to start.
Yes.
And be under a planned unit development. I know this is probably getting ahead of ourselves. Would they be private streets or public?
It's going to really just be a driveway more than anything, so it'll all be private.
Okay. Okay. And subject to, you know, whatever public safety has to say about it for fire department, turning radius, and access, and those types of things.
Correct.
This is just
it's okay, we'll open it up to some questions. Go ahead.
This is just a land use, this is not plat review.
Correct. Not at this time.
Time.
Yep. In the future, it will become a plat and a conditional use permit for the PUD, but at this time, it's just a preliminary review.
And that'll be coming back here again then?
Yeah. Hopefully later this year.
And at this point, we don't have any recommendations of engineering or utilities or anything?
No. Engineering sat in on the initial overlook of this before this sixth sketch, maybe it is, that we've seen now. Working with planning, between planning and engineering, we encouraged that road alignment that you see right across from 11th there. That was really their biggest comment. Some of the first sketches we saw, there was either two entrances kind of on either side of 11th Street, or there was one that jogged. But with the new subdivision ordinance, kind of keeping that in mind and just common practice, we encouraged that road alignment, which really shifted and kind of drove some of these changes to this.
I know it's part of that land is tilled and part is in trees. Is this all good usable land for this project?
The topography is challenging, and that's driving the placement of the building. So mm-hmm. that's what we're probably the biggest struggle that we're having.
Are you still working on this particular layout?
Yes.
Because it looks like a good fit.
Mm-hmm. We're having, as Sarah mentioned, we're having problems meeting the area mm-hmm. requirement for the phase two.
Yep. Which thankfully with moving towards that PUD, that would really solve all of those issues. Because if you think of the project as a whole rather than as two pieces from our standpoint, the square footage is met as a whole. But when you try and divide it up for these two phases, that's where we come with issues. So from a staff standpoint, getting that PUD in and having the Planning Commission approve that variance from the zoning ordinance is really the easiest and the most sensible way to deal with this unique case.
Now, go ahead.
Is there certainty that phase two will be completed?
It's certainly our intent, and there's really no certainty that phase one, we're going in for an application, we would find out in October we're funded. And the investors are really driving the fact that we'd have to subdivide the parcel. It has to be a standalone parcel.
So there's going to be additional planning costs.
And so we won't actually see this for any action potentially until what, towards the end of the year or even after the first of the year?
We would probably come in November-ish. We would find out in October. So we would start working on particularly the engineering.
Mm-hmm.
By the way.
If the frontage mm-hmm. requirement was met, would they need to do a conditional use permit at all?
Yes. Okay. The 24 units in an R4 requires a conditional use permit to begin with, so that's already a requirement. the lot frontage is actually a little bit short overall, but because of the unique shape and size of this particular piece of land, that's really not too much of a concern from a staff standpoint mm-hmm. because we have the shape of the parcel and the street frontage isn't quite the normal ratio that we see. Mm-hmm. So that again can be covered in that PUD.
Current zoning?
R4. That from looking at the zoning map, the trailer park, my map. The trailer park, when the zoning map was approved, actually got squared off. So this particular piece that they're looking at is an R4, which is the same as what the trailer park is currently. So that's hugely in their favor because that doesn't have to be rezoned or anything like that either.
Has
that's
there
already
been
taken care of.
Purchase of the land at this point?
We have an option.
So fair to say that this plat as it's sitting here, or this building site, could change before construction or whatever, or are you pretty well locked in with this?
The topography is driving most of this, okay. So we have very little flexibility. This is really probably the best layout we can get.
So I know it's not plat review, but I just feel compelled to comment on it.
Yep, absolutely.
To get to building two, even after phase two would be completed, all the vehicles for this back one are getting channeled through the parking lots of apartments one and three, and any kind of emergency services to get back to the back building or going around this three-sided roundabout or whatever, and having to get through the parking lots to either way they go to get to the building, and it just doesn't seem feasible that until the second phase is done, all the traffic for the back parking is going to funnel through half of the parking lot for building one. It just seems like it's just kind of a nightmare, and I can't believe that. I have a hard time believing that the emergency services people would try to wonder how they were going to get through to this back building.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it just, I just wonder if that's something that needs to be addressed before the, you know, before it gets any further or something.
We'll take that back to our team and see if there's a way we can come in.
I mean, anything that happened, these parking lots would plug up instantly if something was going on with that. They wouldn't have any way to get equipment back in there.
Yep.
Sarah, what is the specific variance that would be required here?
If we did a planned unit development, there would be no variance required because the Planning Commission has the authority to vary from the ordinance in a planned unit development.
Go through the variant, the changes that are not satisfied by the current ordinance.
Correct.
Go through those for us.
Oh, it's a little bit tricky. So because of the division of the phases, let's see, we said the second phase's lot is about 10,000 square feet short, but the phase one lot is about 30,000 square feet over. So the phase two lot is a little bit smaller than what we would typically, than what the zoning ordinance requires. And then the street frontage is, oh, those aren't on here. I want to say the street frontage is about 100 feet short of what we would normally require. That one's a little bit more significant, but could still be covered in the planned unit development changes.
And one of the reasons I assume that we have this particular configuration for this particular property is that Mr. Erickson would still have some ability to develop then to the south of this.
Correct. Yep. They did just roughly sketch it out on that plat. He mm-hmm. would have room for a 64-foot wide drive,
yeah.
And then he'd have 125 feet long different parcels and two rows of them. That'd be Warren.
The Warren.
Yeah. Yep.
Sketched in
Warren.
Here.
Mm-hmm. Sketched in here. And that, I mean, that's just a rough estimate to just show what the potential of that leftover land would be.
Mm-hmm. So that doesn't have any ties back into Trentwood then? It's just a long...
Not bonus. Currently, but it easily could somehow be...
Have you ever addressed conditional approvals where phase one would be required to maintain a driveway through what would be in the future if phase two is developed, a drive back to the circular drive so that there's two accesses, and then once phase three is complete, you've satisfied the requirements? Now that's one suggestion we have here. The second concern is, you know, in any of these high density apartment parking lots, you're going to be seeing a lot of cars oftentimes dropping people off, picking people up, moving things in, moving things out. And when you have an emergency situation, there's only there may not even be any access.
Yeah. So you're thinking something like a drive-through like this?
Yeah, you just use the parking lot for that.
Yes.
And then when this is completed,
then it can
unless we can come up with some kind of a permanent where we're coming in like this. And do something a little bit different with the parking lot.
And Mr. Erickson might not approve it, but another suggestion, if he's going to have it, take this 66-foot to a busy process, opening one of these up here.
Can we square this off?
Why they couldn't build those two first?
Leave this, though, fairly high value.
Because this could be...
I think most of the sketches that were presented to staff included just that one access off of Lakeland versus having two, which I think in a normal shaped parcel or something a little bit more squared off is you'd probably see a couple different accesses, but with that squeezed frontage, having the one. Is what's been presented to us.
And up in the northwest corner of that, is that a park or is that the pond? The stormwater.
Stormwater pond is right off of Lakeland, okay. And then there's another circle there with a couple squares in it, kind of north central-ish. That's where the playground park area is planned.
Okay. And I would insist that they square off that entrance with that, what is it, 11th Avenue, what is that?
Yep, 11th Avenue. As the new subdivision ordinance states, there has to be, I should have written that down. Is it 50 feet or 100 feet? No, 150 feet. There has to be 150 feet distance from one road on the left to one road on the right, if that makes sense. Nope, or further. No closer than 150 feet for those jogs. So that's really where that encouragement to stick it directly across from 11th Street comes from, is there's not really enough length there on that parcel to meet that 150-foot requirement.
Rick, I know a lot of the information that we received also in this packet revolved around working with Southwest Mental Health Agency, and mostly in regard to the four supportive housing units.
Yes.
Do you want to address those at all?
Sure. So in most of our developments, we set aside a small portion of the units for people that are struggling, are homeless. And then we provide supportive services, and we contract that for those services with the existing service providers. So we make the units available, they're very low rent, and then we also then provide the services so people can get become stable and work with them also as far as making referrals to the broader community as far as education, job, training, things like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So West Winds has units. Hanson will have units.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinals, we didn't do that.
That's what I thought I remembered, was that West Winds had, at least two, or was it four?
Four.
It had four. Okay.
Is that four per building, or four total?
Four through the whole development.
Four through the building, yeah. Okay, I thought four per building was a lot.
So we tried to spread them out.
So you're looking at project that in my mind appears to be a good fit going from the north to the south, and Cleet mentioned this just as we were standing outside. You know, you have the trailer park, and then you have this, and then you have some of more market-based housing to the south of it.
Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And there's some assisted living to the south as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good mix.
Yeah.
It's all residential along that entire east side.
Yeah, it's just too bad to get hard to cite the buildings, so it makes all the drives on the parking lots really squeezed together.
Yeah, and some of the issue with this layout too, and kind of where the driving of some of the placement of those parking lots is because they're two separate parcels, the drive, the parking lots have to be satisfied on the parcels themselves. So there can't, five parking spaces for phase one can't be satisfied by phase two's parking lot because it might have a little bit more space. We have to try and juggle that situation with the two separate parcels.
And this is basically allowing for two spaces per unit?
Yes. Yep. And some of that, it doesn't show here directly, but I think it's one for every seven or eight spaces will be handicapped as required by ADA.
So sure. The reason for not doing this as one plat is pretty much financial driven, that you want to make sure the first two go before the third goes.
Correct.
If you did it as one plat, then you would be able to satisfy some of the those issues if you did it as one plat.
We could satisfy all of them if it was one plat. Mm-hmm. And then the other part of it is would have really two separate ownerships of which we would be in control. But if with the investors coming in on the first phase, that dictates it has to be a separate parcel. And so we have to kind of distinguish between that and make sure the uses are confined to each parcel, so we can't overlap or overflow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we probably should have thought of all of this before we decided on this configuration and shape, but.
It'll be thought of by the end.
Yeah.
Lesson learned.
So you said that this is a, you brought the cost down by about $1.5 million. So this is about a $9 million project?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep,
For the first phase.
Right. For phase one, yeah. And what was it, seven something for Commonwealth's, for 15th Street flats?
That sounds about right.
Seven and a half?
Yeah, something around there, I think.
And probably, doing one building instead of two help reduce some of those costs.
Yep, they've got one 47-unit building, and that was allowed because they were able to rezone to R5 because of their proximity to general business. In this situation, going any residential density above an R4 would be more of a spot zoning situation, which wouldn't be feasible.
So our construction cost is $7.4 million. So,
okay.
Yeah. And what I gave you is the total development cost.
Yeah.
So land and everything else.
So you're saying the total development cost of $10.5 million would actually be less?
It's the current estimate, we're still working on cost, but we're down to 9.1, I think.
I'm sorry, what was that again, Rick?
I'm finding it. $9,166,549.
That's 1.4 less than that 10.
Okay.
And that's just the phase one.
Yep, the 48 units.
And then you'll have a separate management company that will manage the units, correct?
Correct. Is that Lloyd Management.
Okay.
I notice on the applicant rejection policies, do units actually sit empty if there's no qualified tenants?
They could. We have not had that kind of a problem. We have we have over 1,700 rental units, and we're averaging under 4% vacancy in the portfolio.
What I've heard a lot of since I've been in Wilmer, and even had some experience myself with family members, is people that are in the workforce at the lower income level but don't qualify and cannot find housing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that, this might, because there are other housing units similar to this already that are restrictive to not qualifying for the income limits. And what we need is that lower to mid range as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're referring to that as the missing middle. And mm-hmm. it's the hardest to develop. It's people that make over the 60% area median income, but under about 110%. And those are really hard because you don't have the subsidy that you can bring in to get the rents low enough so that population can afford the rents. Mm-hmm.
So basically, if it's somebody, I mean, I'm guessing at the numbers here, but median income for a family of four is probably around 50, 52,000. In Candido High County? So you get a family of four, and they've got two people working at basically full-time minimum wage. That's actually going to price them out of a lot of housing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's available.
If you have two
and
people
so here
working,
they'd be able to get into some
with this,
good housing.
With the income averaging. So two people working at Jenny O would not qualify.
Mm-hmm.
For the 60%, but they would qualify for 80.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of employers who have invested in our housing have learned that it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one of the problems I think that planning and development is seeing, is that with a lack of good affordable workforce housing, There's no way that companies can come into a community and open up shop.
Mm-hmm.
because you got to have, everybody's got to have somewhere to live. And we're probably, what, well under, we're somewhere around a 2 or 3% vacancy rate in Wilmer right now, probably.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that. I know Bruce did, I think it was in that initial meeting that we had with James, and Bruce had said, I think something that really stuck out to James, that we have a population of about 20,000, 21,000, but we have a workforce of about 24,000, 25,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is that housing gap of a lot of commuters coming to this area because of that lack.
Yeah, huge number of people coming into town every day just to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that are coming from Lord knows where.
I just sit on highway North 71 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Watch them pour in.
Mm-hmm.
7:30 to court.
Yeah.
I just drove across Wilmer from Menards coming here while people were leaving town, and it was just nonstop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not as bad as Division Street in St. Cloud.
Right.
That's
right.
True.
What's wrong with
we need some more, we need some more stoplights.
You got an extra hour, you can just cruise through town.
So, Sarah, you've said that we want to give some sense of direction to the council as mm-hmm. to what the Planning Commission feels about what they're seeing at this point in time.
Yep.
Does that, are you looking for something formal in the way of a resolution, or are you?
No, I don't think a formal resolution. I think just kind of how we've had some of our other discussions in the past several meetings where, mm-hmm. you know.
You were referring to a recommendation letter?
That recommendation letter will be brought to council on June 4th.
From who?
From Southwest.
We will provide it, and it's actually a resolution support.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But for the council to hear from us, basically they're going to see in the minutes.
Yep.
The general discussion.
Correct.
And that should be enough guidance for them for now.
Yep. Yep. That Planning Commission has reviewed the plans, that this project is, you know, feasible on this particular parcel that they're looking at. That, you know, obviously not all of the details are 100% at this point, but
mm-hmm.
that it's, you know, it is zoned R4. The buildings that have been proposed are more than allowable and
generally supportive of the zoning and the general concept.
Yep, yep, and the use of the land.
And encourage the council and developer to move forward.
Yes.
With their next steps.
Correct.
Would a statement like that meet with everybody's approval here, basically? I mean, I know we can't get too deep in the weeds with it right now because we're not looking at a conditional use permit at this point in time, and
mm-hmm.
we're not looking at all of those types of details that we would be looking at that point in time. But we'll just, you know, go around the table briefly. Anyone have any major reservations about the developer moving forward with this?
I don't.
Says no, Rolf.
I don't have any problems with it.
Jeff, conceptually?
I think it's a good use of land if they can work out the other issues.
Mm-hmm. And you have the access and safety.
Sarah, I guess I would really encourage you, when it does come time for the plant reviews or whatever that,
yep.
Being this is workforce housing and stuff, so there's going to be workers needing rides and kids in there.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like you to add the like the school bus companies and the CCT transit to it.
Yeah.
Because those people are going to have to try and figure out how to get buses in and out of there too. So besides just the fire departments and those types of people, that you would add those two to the list?
Absolutely.
Get some input onto this, because that, those people are going to be looking for that.
Do the people in Trentwood, have they been notified of this, or don't they get notified until we?
They won't get notified until the conditional use permit and plat comes before. Those will both be public hearings.
No, Warren hasn't said anything as far as you know to him.
Nope.
There's a buffer there, plus he still built in there, so.
Yep.
I mean, it's all residential, isn't like this is a.
Well, and it's.
Right, yep, absolutely.
I mean, if you're, you know, if you're not concerned about the trailer park, why would you be concerned about this?
It's a nice buffer.
We can readily guess that the public hearing will be attended. You know, once we get to that point, but I'm not terribly concerned about that going south in any way, shape, or form. I think that overall it's a great concept. It's sorely needed in our community, and I think your past performance on Cardinal Apartments and in West Wind, you know, definitely says to us that you're more than responsible and responsive to the housing needs of the community, and I don't see any issue with moving forward.
Sir,
if the council, which
so we can see, yeah, there you go. Oops.
If the council had a letter of support for
thanks
Commonwealth's project, they should have no problem with this one. Cleet, anything else to add?
No.
Is this a direction you're comfortable with?
I'm comfortable with
them proceeding with.
It's needed.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So thanks for your support and your input. We'll take your suggestions back.
Anything else that we don't know that we need to know tonight about this, or?
I don't think so. I think that I don't have anything else to bring forward.
No miscellany or?
No miscellany.
Anything like that?
No. Nope.
Right. Well, I do have one question.
Yes.
When you purchase this land, is it going to all be purchased at the same time?
Yes.
So that you secure the
phase two
land?
Yes.
Okay, so that doesn't become an issue later.
Yep, and the plat and conditional use permit will, if we move forward with that PUD, that'll all be addressed at the same time.
And then you'll be able to work with that bare land if you need to for access and safety issues.
Yeah, so we're probably looking after, probably looking November before we see you again.
Hopefully you see us again, yes, this year.
Well, definitely. Well,
these are highly competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But thank you very much.
Yeah.
You bet. Thank you for coming on up.
Yep.
Thank
it's
good
you.
To meet you all.
Yes, see you as well.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you guys again.
No miscellany?
No miscellany.
Then I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
There's a motion. Second. Is there a second? Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries. We are adjourned.